Amen. Amen. I want to quote this from the first chapter of Revelation, while you're standing. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Amen. You may be seated. Several things I want you to notice in this first chapter, and then I'll be going to the fourth chapter. And I very seldom teach from the book of Revelation because most people have already got their mind made up what they believe about it. And you can't change people when they already got their mind made up. Of course, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. You all know that, don't you? But I am right about this. I asked my grandson Richie the other day. He and his cousin Danny were riding with us to the campground back here in Camden. And I said, he started telling me some things about the book of Revelation. He wasn't asking, he's telling me. Somebody had got to him, was teaching him some of the scary tactics that you hear going on right now. I want to tell you this to begin with. Scared religion don't last long. You serve God because you love him, not because you're afraid of going to hell. I don't want to go to hell, but the love of God is bigger than the fear of going to hell. I love God. He said something to me about it, and then after we were talking a little while, and I said, Richie, which would you rather hear? Someone preach from the book of Revelations, plural, Revelations, or from the book of Revelation? He said, I think I'd rather hear Revelations. Now, I'm not throwing off on Richie. He's one of the finest, but he's just a kid, and he's been hearing these things. Did you know about 97% of our preachers say now we're preaching from the book of Revelations? And they spend a big part of their time talking about the beast and Mark and the rapture. And some have us going the fourth chapter, some have us going the 19th chapter, and some don't have us going at all. There's a humorous story I corrected Rich and I said, get your Bible and look. It is not Revelations. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I mean, it's all in him. Amen. Several years ago in the publishing house in St. Louis, incidentally, Marcel, you got your lift here, you see it? All right. Funny, I think of things when I see. But there's a book that's very popular. A fellow by the name of Clarence Larkin wrote it many years ago. And inserted in this book is a 3 pages as you pull it out and unfold it, and has a chart. Now, you've seen this chart and copies of it, and many preachers teaching from it and pointing to it. Brother Norris teaching to campground, a few changes, but basically the same chart. Brother Cannon teaches, Brother Yoakum taught from the same chart. You've seen it all around. Some folks that went to Brother Walter Gwynn's church, he taught from the Larkin's chart also. Only thing he didn't tell anybody is Larkin's chart. So these people came from Brother Walter Gwynn's church down to the publishing house looking through the books, and they found this Larkin book on prophecy, and they pulled out that chart and they looked at it and they said, look here, someone done copied our pastor's chart. Now, charts could be right and charts could be wrong. I remember when Brother Norris, and he's dead now, but when he was teaching at the campground, he kept talking about the first 3 chapters of Revelation. And he said that each church represents a part of the church age. First 300 years, next so many years, and then the Reformation time. And according to that theory, we would be living in the Laodicean age, and there wouldn't be anything we could do about it. So there's no need of saying, come on, worship, get up, stand up, shout, leap for joy or anything else. If we're asleep and dead and came to, if it's that age, we're stuck with it. But my contention is that these churches are lessons for any church. We could be wrong or we can be right. We could be like Ephesus or we could be like Philadelphia. They were churches. They did have pastors. And most of these churches had something wrong with them. Of course, we're not like that. You know, we're that perfect church, and I better take that back quick before it gets cold. Because I'm sure that we can move up a little bit in God. Hallelujah. Anyway, I said, Richie, it is not revelations. Now, when someone comes through teaching, it's like I told you Sunday night, I believe, about Joe, what's his name? That's the hardest name. That's worse than snail grows. Joe Saragusa. And this preacher's over there preaching in Memphis. And I don't want him on Friday night when we don't have church. I mean, I'm so tired of having to go to some extreme to get people. Why can't we just get anchored on the truth and get happy about the truth and praise God for the truth? Anyway, he pointed Brother Joe out and said, the Holy Ghost just said you're going to give $107 in the offering tonight. And Brother Joe said, well, the Holy Ghost must have made a mistake. I hadn't had a job in 7 months. You know, when he was here, he told us he was looking. Well, the preacher, in order to make his story possibly come true, he goes by in the $600 bill in his pocket. Like that, I told you, son, I like that fellow that was praying for God to supply Widow Brown's smokehouse. Give her a ham of meat. Help her, Lord. And he heard a wheelbarrow running, and he looked out, and the little boy was rolling a wheelbarrow around the house with a ham of meat in. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm helping God answer your prayer. So it is, if we give out prophecy and have fulfilled ourselves, there's not too much to it. I don't know where Joe put that money in the offering or not. He might get it. Hope he did. What I'm trying to just point out to you tonight, that this whole book, the whole book is the book of Revelation, and the revelation is of Jesus Christ. Now, it's a fact. Mark of the Beast is a fact. I'm not criticizing that. The coming of the Lord is a fact. But the revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people who won't talk about the mark of the beast, don't want to talk about who Jesus is. And this very first chapter tells us who he is. The first and the last, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega, that which was. Why don't you help me? All right. Amen. And is to come, the Almighty. Praise God. Let's worship him. Would you worship him? Amen, amen. I think that's enough for this first chapter. And we'll go to the fourth chapter. Now, the first three chapters, there's no question about it, deals with the churches on this earth. I doubt if it's talking about ages, because the church is the same, whether you find it in the second chapter of Acts or in 19 and 91, it's the same. We spoke about Dad Rooks a while ago. One of the things he taught me back in the 40s and early 50s when the so-called latter rain was going on, a lot of people was following after that. And he said, tell me something. If it rains in the morning and rains in the evening, what's the difference in the rain? Well, it's no difference. He said, if it rains in the spring and rains in the fall, what's the difference in the rain? Is it not all water that comes down from the clouds? Now, you say, that's so simple, but it's good. I mean, the church is what it was. What it was, it is, and if it isn't, it's not right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in the first three chapters, I told you, lessons to those different churches pointing out their right doing and their wrongdoing. It's a fact that sometimes we can have some right about us and can have some wrong about us at the same time. We can be right in so many avenues and wrong in a few, or even in one place. And I him in the churches. After I saw the condition of the churches of Asia, after I heard him say, I am the first, I'm the last, I'm he that was dead, but I'm alive, and I'm alive forever. All right. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Now, here's a little catch I want you to notice in this. Now, some folks say, Larkin says, and some folks get copies of Larkin, says, this is the rapture right here. After this, I looked and saw a throne in heaven, and he said, come up hither. All right. Let me show you something. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was that were a trumpet talking with me, said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must come hereafter. Now, he's speaking from the place that God told him to come. Of higher, to the throne of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ doesn't begin in Bethlehem's manger. He was the great I Am, you know that? He is the Ancient of Days. He is the soldier in the time of Joshua's army. They saw a man they couldn't figure out, and they walked up to him and said, whose side are you on anyhow? He said, I'm on neither your side nor the other side. I'm the captain of the armies of the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. Now, when God says, come here, John, sit down in the throne with me. That's my feeling. He goes all the way back to the beginning. Because in the book of Revelation, he showed John things which had been, things that was, and things that were to come. Now, when he said, you know, if I say, I'm going to tell you about things hereafter, I might tell about the mark of the beast and about Hussein. He's about to get it again. If he don't turn one of them bombs loose and destroy a lot of people's message. If he turn one of them bombs loose and kill all those white heifers they're prophesying about. That sure destroy a lot of mess. That'd kill some of the sermons we're going to hear at the General Conference. I'm going to tell you again tonight, it's not the Israel of this world that I'm so much interested in. I'm interested in the new Israel, recreated, born again, children of God. You're come to Mount Zion. You're in the presence of an innumerable band of angels. You are come to Mount Zion, the city of God. You're in the midst of God's people tonight. Now, if I say I'm going to tell you things that's going to happen hereafter, you'd be talking about, what month is this anyways? Thank you. You know how I figure out long months and short months? All right, Betty, stand up and show us. Except in February, and yeah, sure. Isn't that deep? All right. My Lord, how do I get into that? If I would say September the 15th, 1991, I'm going to talk about things hereafter, I would be saying after September the 15th, 1991. You understand that? But if the Lord would pick me up and take me to his throne and say, I'm going to give you the revelation of Jesus Christ, after he's already showed him the earthly churches in Asia, and he sets him down in the throne beside him and said, now I'm going to show you things that must happen hereafter. Whew, he may have seen Noah's flood. I don't know what all he saw. But he got a revelation. He must have seen the Lord in the fiery furnace. Because he was there one time, but he didn't get any harm, and those that were around him didn't get any harm. Hallelujah to God. You will see the Lord. Take a look at David's stone. That stone was a rock. But when God got in it, it was a very victorious Christ that made his mark. You want to see the Lord? Look at Moses' rod. It's just a walking stick. It's just wood. Until God got in it and become a snake, or more than that, it was a sign. It was anything he needed. Parted water, brought different calamities upon the people. Amen. I'm telling you, when God gets in it, it can be an uneducated person. It can be a woman. It can be a man. It can be a child. When God gets in it, great things begin to happen. Let's praise the Lord for his goodness, would you? Praise the Lord. All right. Now, there's a lot of revelations that I could not give you the answer to. I absolutely couldn't. But, you know, like the beast and description of all these, I'm not talking about the mark of the beast and that beast later, 19th chapter and along there, 13th chapter. But he saw in from the throne of God, he saw these different beasts and he describes them. Another chapter he talks about horses. I've heard Brother Nelson say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ride with them white horses. Honestly, folks, I don't think heaven's going to have any flesh and blood horses in it. It's all right with me if that's what they want. But I think that every one of these horses represents conditions. And I believe I know who holds the reins of each horse, whether it be pale, red, or dark. Hallelujah. I know who holds the reins. Did not God say, in the book of Daniel, didn't the Word of God say, now I know, this is Nebuchadnezzar, now I know, or Belshazzar, all of them mixed up, there's 10 folks in here. Now I know who ruleth in the kingdoms of men. It just took a little writing and a little shaking and a little move of God and taking the sting out of fire and deliverance for three Hebrew children. Someone, I think it was E.V. Hill, which is a black man that preached his wife's funeral. Many of you have heard that sermon. But he said when he heard Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, I said, and Abednego? I never heard it called that before. He said, I thought that was Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. Now, I'm not interested in Shadrach and Meshach, a bad Negro, so much as I am that other one that came with deliverance. And that's what I'm trying to teach you about tonight, is the very power of the living God. I missed something I wanted to teach you from the first chapter. Turn back if you have your Bible. Turn back. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to bear, and so forth. Now, wait a minute. Maybe it's the fourth chapter that I want to show you something. Here we go again. All right. A door was opened in heaven. First voice which I heard was it were like a trumpet and so forth. Somebody help me. Yeah, second verse. This even surprised me when I saw it. And I've been reading this and preaching this for years and years. And immediately I was in the Spirit. You know what we usually call being in the Spirit is being caught away in the Holy Ghost. Look at that word Spirit. A little less. Don't underestimate your own spirit. It can be corrupt or it can be godly. Now you see, a capital is just as much the Word of God, a capital letter, just as much the Word of God as the Word itself is. A period, a comma, it all has its meaning. Now, I was in the Spirit. This means, like I've taught you many times, like so many people misuse it, you know, where Jesus told a woman in Samaria, said, God's a Spirit, with a great big capital S, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, little s, and in spirit and in truth. Galatians, Paul said that we're to worship God with our spirits, little s, and with our bodies. That's the reason we want to go beyond, just the bodies, just the natural side, just the truth side. As far, this is not talking about Jesus' name, baptism, the Holy Ghost, and one God. This is talking about the actual and the spiritual. And sometimes people say, let's put a heart into it. That's what we're talking about. Your spirit into it. I have known people that have their spirit conquered, subdued, almost killed. They had no... I've even seen that happen to horses. Had their spirit killed. I've got a dog, I'm trying to kill its spirit. Thing wants to rear up on me, I whipped it with a switch, I whipped it with a newspaper, slapped it with my hand. They ain't supposed to do that, they said. Humane Society may give me. He wants to rear up and put his feet on me. And a fellow told me, it's just that step on his toes.
That was something. So he comes to work and jumps on me. Yeah!
The rascal still jumps on me. But it's terrible if you are so damp and down that you can't worship God with your spirit. Amen. Now, some never get beyond the physical, but God wants your spirit. We're not talking about the Holy Ghost now. We're just talking about... You see, you can't really worship the Holy Ghost without getting your spirit involved, because God's not satisfied with hand clapping along. God's not satisfied with dancing alone. God's not satisfied with money alone. He wants our heart. He wants our worship. He wants our praise. Let's stand up and praise Him. Would you praise Him? Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah. Oh, amen, Jesus, amen, Jesus, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now, you may be seated just a little bit. I was in the Spirit. Let me tell you this again tonight. Brother Gary Castile did a fine job explaining this after... Johnny Wall got his lesson number 25, Preacher Revival. We had a good revival. He was feeling so good, and he started to march. He marched around the altar. That's Johnny Wall. And so he looked over at Sister Pierce, Wayne Stephens' mama, and he said, come on out here and march with me. Well, she's not too well. She come out of there, and about that time, she got in the spirit. Her spirit got involved in the service. So she come. She's a woman. She's almost old as I am. A little bit older, maybe. And then Johnny, he got all enthused, and he said, you come on out. March for God. You can get in on this. Another one got up too. So they were kind of marching. He looked down at poor little sister Logan, little black sister, kind of frail. He said, come on, sister, you can do it too. And she got happy, she went backwards and fell and broke her arm. Yeah, oh Lord Jesus, how you going to live that down? Desi, which is also black, you know Desi. Poor sister Logan. Holding her arm, you know. Went back, sat down. Dad said, you all right? She said, using yourself or it wouldn't happen. So I looked over and I saw her hurting, holding her arm. So I said, Brother Johnny, he was already preaching. I said, Sister Logan, her arm, she needs prayer. So we prayed for her. She got happy again. And she danced all the way around, just broken arm and other one, both gone. But she sat down and hurt again. This is it. You just wasn't in the spirit. I told Sister Hall, I said, that woman was hurting. Now, she may have broken that arm. She's a nurse. And so she went and got her and took her to the hospital. Would you believe, sure enough, she broke it? And some people get spinning about this. You're not promised a glorified body. Sometimes, now there's not a bit of difference in that. Listen to me closely. Not a bit of difference in that. That night, the preacher was a little on the heavy side. It was preaching. Physically, I'm talking about. He must weigh 250 pounds. And when he got in the big one, he was preaching like this.
You run out of breath.
You say, well, if it had been the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't run out. Well, what about the preacher gets hoarse? He just screams his head off and gets hoarse. Now, he felt like doing more than his physical body could do it. Could do. Now, I'm not, you know, I hate things like that. And Josh Shields, big old fat boy from Russellville, Brother Mickey Shields' boy, he took one of them running spells in camp meeting 4 or 5 years ago, and he ran. He weighs about 270 pounds, and he ran around the hole. And when he passed the altar, he couldn't turn the corner, and he fell and broke his leg in camp meeting. Now, I'm not saying I enjoy that. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that when, if you were in the Holy Ghost, and if the Holy Ghost was shouting you, and if the Holy Ghost picked your feet up and set them down, then you wouldn't break your leg. But inasmuch as it's your own spirit involved and enthused and your body enthused, you better keep your eyes open. You better be like the scripture says about praying. Watch and pray. I've seen some run the odds that I thought, Lord, they need liability insurance. They're going to run head on with somebody. Now, I'm not criticizing running or jumping or leaping, but if something happens, you take the blame for it. God didn't break your leg. Holy Ghost didn't break your leg. You was in the Spirit. You were in your own spirit excited. Now, that explains some of the problems of business going on, too. One fellow said, his name Pierce, but ain't no kin to Johnny. He said, I'm right 70% of the time. At least 30% for error. One brother that taught our campground this year, he prophesied in Alexandria that Brother Colt was not going to die, that he was going to live and fulfill his ministerial duties in Houston again. But Brother Colt died. Somebody said, now if that had been the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't have died. That's right. Now I'm saying that Brother, the preacher, got so carried away in his own self, and he wanted Brother Colt to live so bad that he gave out of his own spirit some words that did not come to pass. That's where we got to be careful. Years ago, before we ever heard of this so-called end-time ministry, listen, let me tell you something. End-time ministry is just exactly like the first-day ministry. It's not no. One of my friends, close friends, said, well, we've not yet entered into the apostolic ministry. I said, then we better find it somewhere, because if we're not in it, we're lost. And Brother Rook said years ago that he was praying for a baby that was very, very sick and looked like the baby was dying. A woman, you've heard me call her name many times, named Clara Ward. She's still living. Sister Ward's a fine lady, but she got enthused and she spoke in tongues, supposedly, and gave out the interpretation, supposedly. Now, when I say things like this, some time ago we were in a board meeting talking about these things, and Brother Hardin said to me, Rutledge, it wasn't even Brother, Rutledge, don't you believe in tongues interpretation? I said, I do. About 10% of what I hear, about 90% of what I hear, I think is flesh. I think it's just imagination. Don't get mad at me. I just want the real thing, see. So this woman gave out interpretation that the baby is going to live. And it was dying right there. So Dad Rooks said to her, if the baby doesn't live, what does that make you? She said, I might have missed it. Let's pray again. And we might miss it too, folks. We might get wrong. But God never gets wrong. Now, while I'm on that, let me tell you something. And this just shocks people when I say it. God don't send a message to the church by way of tongues and interpretation. He may bless you, and through your own edified spirit, you may speak with tongues, and it may be interpreted, but it'll always be to edification and for good, never for leadership, never to condemn the church, never to call somebody into the ministry and these things, never to sell. I heard people supposedly speak with tongues, pointing their finger at one another. I don't know what they're saying, but if they're saying any language at all, they're calling them some bad names, because I could tell, as my granddad said, by the compression on their face. Now, I'm just simply, you say, don't you believe in tongues? Yeah. But every time somebody speaks with tongues, it's not the Holy Ghost speaking. It's your own spirit so edified, so blessed, so thrilled that you're worshiping God. At least you should be. And your spirit is praising and loving God. And if there's a proper interpretation comes forth, whether by the person speaking or by someone else, it's certainly going to be the edification. Lift up to help. Anyway, so many times we blame things. God has never been wrong. If God, now, let me tell you about prophecy. Do you believe in prophecy? Yeah. We believe in prophecy. You don't need a tongue or an interpretation for prophecy. And you don't see too much prophecy that we recognize as such. Sometimes you see it and hear it, and you think the fellow's just preaching or testifying or whatever. But later on you say, you know, that's what was said the other night. But if it's true prophecy of God, if God reveals something that's going to take place, you can set your clock by it. It's going to take place. And that prophecy should be uttered like this. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Now, if you say it and don't happen, we move back to the Old Testament days. We'll take you outside and stone you to death. Well, in the New Testament days, since it doesn't really teach inside the church capital punishment, and I said, you believe in capital punishment? I said, not the church folks, I don't. That's right. Chew on it a while. Not for church folks. That's one big reason I won't stay in the church. I'm just not going to do anything worthy of capital punishment. I was on a jury duty, and we had to set the sentence for an old boy shot right here in Baltimore, Dish, and shot a Wells Fargo wagon, stagecoacher, up these other money haulers. One of those, not Wells Fargo, but one of those. Y'all don't even have enough money to put in one of those, but neither do I. But he shot him right over here in Baltimore just several years ago. So we had one black woman. I'm not getting into blacks, but this way it was. One black woman on the jury. And 11 of us, men and women, white. And so the judge warned us to not only find him guilty, if he was, but also set sentence. We had a hard time. That black woman said, I don't want to send nobody down there. I don't care what it is. I don't want to send him down there. She voted no, 11 to 1. I know you've seen on the radio how jurors get aggravated at the one sometimes. Well, that's where we were. I mean, chapter ballots, I was foreman of the jury. She said, I just can't vote send somebody down there. And that's why she said, ain't you a preacher? Yes, ma'am. She said, can you sleep tonight if you're supposed to send him down there? I said, I sure can, because I'm not sending him. When he pulled that gun out and shot that driver of that truck, he sent himself, and he's getting off light with 16 years. Now, that'll apply to a lot of other things that's happened today. I'm telling you the truth, folks. Something's got to happen with all this corruption and murder. You can't pick up a paper in our little town today or turn the news on, but what, in Little Rock or Pine Bluff or both, someone's been shot again and killed. It's getting more serious than we ever dreamed it would be. I think we ought to all bundle up and move to Rising. What I am truly saying is we need to get a hold of God as never before. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This last story, and you've heard it, most of you have heard it before. If you've already heard it before, I'm talking to Clint and Sharon. I was going to Sulphur Rock to preach a revival and sitting for Dad Rooks and sitting next to the back of the bus. In those days, the black people sat in the back seat or from the back seat forward. And that day, there was only a couple of black men, and I was sitting in the seat next to them. And I had my Bible. I was going to preach a revival. That's the way you know, the bigger the Bible, the bigger the revival. You know that? I know that because I saw one young evangelist brought in a family Bible and wasn't even scheduled to preach. But they were talking, and so this one of them was a preacher. Belonged to a very popular group, you know. It teaches that once you get shaved, you're always shaved. Once in the grass, always in the grass. How can a man fall out of a well? Well, we're not talking about grass. We're not talking about shaving. And let me tell you on this, once saved, always saved. I don't care. It's all right with me. I think even God would want you to stay saved. But when they tell you that you can't lose out with God, they're wrong. But you don't have to lose out with God. Amen. This fellow told him, said, now why don't you just lay down that Sunday fishing pole and join the church? That's all he asked him to do. Just, I said, kind of listen, you know. Did you ever eavesdrop? And he said, oh, that's not in the Bible. He said, it is too. He said, it's in the Bible. You shouldn't fish on Sunday. Y'all didn't know that too, did you? I see, I'm calling some of you in trouble. And he said, it's in the Bible. If I had my Bible, I'd show you. He took my Bible and he turned. That other guy said, I knew it wasn't the Bible. You can't find it. He said, this Bible don't seem to be just quite like mine. I knew it was in there. I got real interested. I want to know where it was, too. Finally, he found it. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He said, now that Lord's Day is Sunday. That's another error of erroneous teaching. The Lord's Day is not Sunday. That's one of the days of the Lord, but the Lord's Day is from beginning to ending, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. Now, some of these fellows just says, now, we're so glad to have you tuned in on this beautiful Lord's Day. They don't know what they're talking about. And some more gets up and says, we're so good to be in the house of the Lord on this beautiful Sabbath. They don't know what they're talking about. He's our Sabbath. This is the day of the Lord, but it didn't start in Bethlehem. It don't start just on Sunday, the Lord's Day. But anyway, this fellow said, see? Now, where was John? He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. It was Sunday morning. He was in the Spirit. See, he wasn't down there on the creek bank fishing. That's pretty good doctrine. I'll not tell you it wasn't right because it gave me a little more leverage, you know. But that's not what he was talking about. When John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, he saw things that had been and things that was and things that's to come, and I wouldn't question any of that. All the terrible things that you read about in the book of Revelations that are probably yet to come, if you think I don't believe in it, I think it's even worse than we, because it says typifying, signifying, which means typifying. See, it's not actual. When he says horns, it usually means power. When he says waters, it usually means large congregation or peoples and other things. It's symbols. It typifies. And that's the reason I don't know until he comes to pass. I said, well, I've seen it all the time. But I don't know a lot of things of past history to make me understand some of the things that John was writing about. But I know enough about it to see who he is writing about, and that's what we're really interested in, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and love him, would you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him.
I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Oh, glory.
I'm getting ready for the gates of hell.
Oh, keeping walking in
day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Something I meant to tell you, I just got to tell you this. If you read the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 of them listed. Incidentally, that's spelled with a great big capital S, gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, the gifts of the Spirit pertain to little s. There's 11,391 of them. You know, like the gift of tattling, like the gift of murmuring, like the gift of gab, like the... You know what I'm talking about. But when you get your hand in God's hand, you can't go wrong. Sing it again.
I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of hell. He's being the resurrected. What's he for the night?
I'm getting ready
to leave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm getting ready, Lord, to leave this whole world of sorrow.
Getting ready
for the gates of hell.
Keeping electrified.
I'm watching
both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate the opportunity to preach to you folks. Been trying to get an appointment in this church for the last 3 months. Tell you the honest truth, I just now feel like trying to preach to you. And I just feel so much better. And I want you to just keep praying that this medication will get the job done. I don't want nobody to stick a knife in me. I told Dr. Jack's dentist I go to, his brother, you know, David, they're both in the same business. And Dennis said, I hate, preacher, he said, I hate for you to go through this. Some of the work he's already done. I didn't exactly like it either. And he said, I hope you don't have to have surgery. He said, I myself have never had done to me what you've had done to you. I said, let me make a suggestion. You and your brother in the same business, why don't you just get together and practice on one another, and then you come to us laymen, all right? But thank God for medical science, what they know. But I'm glad to know there's a higher power. Hallelujah to God. Brother Roll, would you dismiss us tonight?